It is Thursday, October 28th, 2010. This is Aaron Smith, the Art Guy, and this is The Academic Aesthetic. I want to say this is episode 168, but I'm, again, not sure. The marking period is coming to a close for us, although I think we're supposed to be calling it the quarter now. I don't know. These terms are used interchangeably. But this is a good time for reflection, looking at the first quarter of the year, not the first half, the first quarter, and seeing, okay, what went well, what went not so well. One of my more recent warm-ups, I had my students list something that they liked and something that they wished they had learned about in my class, but we just didn't cover. And I found that several of them wanted to spend more time working with image editing, and some wanted to work more with photography. We just didn't have the time to do those because of some other projects that I had put in instead. At the beginning of the year, there were a lot of them that wanted to learn about web design. Not as many of them were interested in learning about web design after I taught it to them. They didn't quite understand what was going to be entailed in that. When I started talking about HTML codes, a lot of them had their eyes glaze over. At the end of the marking period, I had one person who was interested in learning more about programming. I don't think he's ever programmed, so it may be an eye-opener for him. And I recommended, I believe the program is called Stitch. I'll link to it in the show notes. I can't remember the name of it for sure right now. I know it begins with an S, but it's a beginning programming language that you can use where a lot of it's drag and drop, but it helps you understand the logic that computers follow to make simple programs, and some people are doing some pretty neat things with it. And it's a time for me to be reflecting myself. They reflected on my lessons. It's time for me to do the same. I don't want to be teaching the same way I did first marking period. I am looking into different things, perhaps extra credit assignments where it's an alternate project you can do. Perhaps for every lesson, they'll be, okay, well, you can do this project or this project, and the grade you get will go into the same spot in my grade book. A way for students to select their own tier of difficulty, depending on what they want to do and what they want to learn. So much of what they're going to do outside of my classroom is going to be self-selected. This could be good training for them to select the things they want to select. And I had a bunch of students where when I gave them an assignment where, okay, in this project you're going to have one paragraph on something that you like for this sample blog post, there were students that sat there for a half an hour saying, I have no idea what to write. They hadn't been given that choice in most of their classes. They'd always been given some type of framework that they could build what they were writing around. And I just opened it up. Because for me, it wasn't as important what they were saying as it was how they were saying it. So I gave them that option. And they just weren't used to that. I don't want to say lack of structure, but they weren't used to having that freedom. I've seen some former teachers of mine, including one really awesome college professor I had, where they gave all the lessons up front. They said, okay, here's what we're going to be learning. These are all the projects that are due. And now I'm going to spend the rest of my time with you introducing these projects one at a time. But their due date is all the same due date. And you hand them in when you finish them. I hesitate to do that just because this is middle school we're talking about, and that will mean that I have 400 projects handed in on the last day, and I really don't want to grade 400 projects over a weekend, but perhaps have some type of communal deadline for a series of projects where, okay, all projects for such and such are due on this day, all projects for such and such are due on this day, to set those guidelines for, okay, let's spread these out, but if you finish them early, hand them in early. If you finish them right on the deadline, you can hand them in right on the deadline. Giving them a little more leeway, giving them a little more flexibility. And I haven't decided I'm going to do any of these in particular. I'm pretty much brain dumping ideas right now. That's the purpose of this podcast. Hopefully you, the listener, are going to get some ideas, or perhaps you have some ideas you'd like to share with me too, which would be kind of cool. I still want to give my students some method of choosing their own voice, finding their own voice with my lessons. I don't want to give them a strict cookie cutter assignment where I'm only testing lower level thinking skills and the ability to follow directions. Following directions is a big thing. It's really important, but there's a limit to how much of that should be put into the lesson at the exclusion of letting your students express themselves. They're not going to have the same sense of empowerment. Yes, I've had students that did cookie cutter lessons before, younger age groups, where they turned around, looked at me with a big smile on their face, pointed at their project and said, "Look, I did that." And I smiled, big grin on my face, filled with pride, understanding that what they did was exactly the same as my example. I don't want them to hand in something that's exactly the same as my example. I want them to hand in something that is theirs, that they think is unique to them, and that is honestly unique to them. It just so happens that it fits into some rubric that I created, so I have a method of assessing what they did that's unique to them. And this is a challenge. Even though I've been teaching for years, this is still a challenge. And it's going to continue to be a challenge. If you look at education in general, I was having a conversation with a colleague just the other day where she had been teaching for over 3 decades. And she made the comment about how students today are not like students when she started teaching. No, they're not. And I'm very glad for that. I don't want them to be that way. We want our students to be prepared for when they enter the non-academic world. And guess what? They enter the non-academic world as soon as they step off the bus or as soon as they turn their phone on. They've entered the non-academic world. So we need to be preparing them for that. And if we were given students with experiences that were 3 decades old, we'd have a lot more work to do. We are aiming for a moving target. The real world is constantly changing, faster now more than ever before, and we need to work for that. And one of the hurdles that I'm encountering is I need to tailor my lessons so that they are geared towards that moving target. Some of my lessons I don't think have been. They've still been pretty structured and rigid. And my introductory lesson, previous classes, you know what? There was structure to it because I wanted to assess what they already knew. And I used to think it was working for that. I'm not so sure now. So I won't be teaching that lesson again. When my students walk in the door next marking period, because I only see my middle schoolers for a marking period at a time. After that, I don't see them again for a year, if that. When they walk through that door, they're not getting the same lesson I gave the group that's ending their time with me today. Now, will it cover some of the same things I want them to cover? Yes, but it's not going to be PowerPoint. I don't think good PowerPoint skills are necessarily that high up on the totem pole for useful non-academic learning experiences. Yes, they've been taught PowerPoint. When I was just starting my teaching career, PowerPoint was a big thing. You could include a lesson where you told your students to make a PowerPoint, and you could sit back in your chair all smug and say, "Look, I integrated technology into my lesson plan." I've had students thank me profusely for telling them I wasn't going to give them a PowerPoint assignment because every other teacher in that building that they had given them a PowerPoint assignment because that was the only way they knew how to integrate technology. Is PowerPoint used out of the school in the real world? Yes, it is. But if you understand basic design, PowerPoint's just another tool. You use those design tips when you're making PowerPoint, or when you're making a Prezi, or when you're making a movie, and you're going to get good results. PowerPoint's a useful tool to teach, don't get me wrong, but there's more out there, and I will see my students for, if I'm lucky, a grand total of 26 days. I think. I have to check a calendar. It's less than that. I think this next marking period is going to be around 46 days or so, and I see them every other school day. So, I guess if that math is right and there's no snow days or anything, I'll see them a grand total of 23 days. There's a lot to cover in that. Giving a remedial PowerPoint lesson with everything else that I want to teach them is not going to end up being on a high rung on that totem pole. I would much rather teach them Web 2.0 technologies. These are things they're going to gravitate to anyway. Look at some of the businesses that are out there right now. They're not going out there and saying, hey, look at our cool PowerPoint and making money by doing that. They're going out there with movies. They're going out there on Facebook, as much as I'm loath to admit Facebook has any useful purpose whatsoever. They're going out there on Twitter, and they're using these technologies. And our students need to understand them now, so when the next big thing comes out, they're not already behind. And they need to understand how to use them properly, which is a really big thing, because so many students aren't. So many adults aren't, for that matter. There are people out there who really need to take my class for more than 23 days, let's put it that way. And I'm not just talking about my students, I'm talking about people I see in the news. Okay, well, I only have a few more turns before I get to school. I hopefully will have this edited and uploaded today. That will depend on how much progress I make on my grades. I want to feel like I've been productive before I take any time to edit this. To get a hold of me, you can go to academicaesthetic.com. If you don't know how to spell it, just Google it. And I'm probably going to be one of the top links for that. You can email me at theartguy@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at theartguy. So those are three ways to get a hold of me. And until next time, stay subscribed, have fun with your grades, and fare thee well.